Begin by reading the scripture today. I don't know what to press here. Okay. Is it my eyes or is it? Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that you are the still same God. You're still the same God that we read in the Bible thousands of years ago. You are the same yesterday, you're same today and forever. Today we acknowledge your presence here with us. Encourage us as a body, as a church, as individual, as families, as a community. We thank you for being faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I would love to, first of all, before I begin, I want to thank everyone for last week. Thank everyone. I hope everybody enjoyed last week. No, it was boring gathering. I want to show you a few things. This thing is not really working. I want to begin up here. Remember that? Oh, it was a wonderful time. Fellowship and fun. Can you see yourself there? For those of you who are here for the first time, last Sunday, we had an international day out in which we invite the community and the churches from around the surrounding area to join us for a time of fun and barbecue and just a family time together. And it's an opportunity for us to say to the communities that we are here and we want to invite you to come and join us. So it's been a great time. We have fun with the kids. One of my favorite parts is this one. The battle between the men and the women. I've never seen so determined sisters here. And you see Olena is laughing there because the women were winning. They have power. So it was a wonderful time of being together. And I want us to give a big hand to all the volunteers and everyone. This is what family is all about. Also, I want to introduce from this month to November, we will be running a couple of series. The pastoral team, Seth, Joely, and myself, and Joseph. This month, we'll be talking about communities. We're asking the question, why are we here? What is our purpose of being here? And then Seth will come in October and talking about our gifts and our abilities and how we can hone the gifts and abilities that God has given us and see where we can serve, not only in the church, and how we can be a blessing with what God has given us personally and corporately as a church to be a blessing in where we are. It's something that has already been happening. We've seen manifested in many ways here at SIC, and it's a wonderful thing to discover. And also give those who are new in our fellowship an opportunity to discover what they would like to do, how they can serve in the church in whatever capacity they would like to. And so that's the whole idea, and it's about just bringing the church together as one. November, we have Joseph, who's going to be speaking on discipleship, and we have a multicultural service that is coming, in which we are already a multicultural, running multicultural service every day, but hardly we see people dress in their costume and sing in their own language, worship together that way, and that's something that we would like to encourage once in a while, to provide a platform for us to be free in who we are as God has created us. The beauty, the different cultures that we represent in being here. So that is the 22nd of October. Today, what we want to do is to take a lesson from the New Testament church. I want to kick off today by learning something from the early church. And see how not only that they are relevant in their time, but in their preaching of the gospel, in being relevant to the age that they're in, they didn't compromise the purpose of why they exist and the calling of God and the message of God. And that is the message of salvation. Presenting the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, our only way to salvation. And the early church and how they started, the church didn't just begin in the New Testament. God already ordained them, even when we see from the beginning back to the Old Testament, that God was planning. And the church began there through his people. So in the New Testament, we see something powerful, something special about this community, those who came in faith in the book of Acts, and see what we can learn from them. So hear what happened in the day of Pentecost. The disciples waited on the Holy Spirit, and it happened that day that every people from different parts of every Jews came to Jerusalem. And it was there they witnessed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter, we know, you know, the disciples, they were not perfect people. They were pretty dysfunctional in some areas. And God entrusted them before he left. Christ entrusted them the message to go and preach the gospel to the nation, the whole world. And I used to wonder, how could they possibly do their task? You know, they're not perfect people. But Jesus sent them the Holy Spirit. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He will empower you. He will teach you. He will comfort you, the same comfort that I gave you. and he will keep you from all wrong. So in Acts chapter 2, we see the manifestation of the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, to all mankind. They were speaking in tongues. Peter, the guy who denied Jesus, transformed in his own life, new commitment, a new zeal for Christ, stood up with boldness. The same mouth that spoke and said, "I don't know Jesus," is now standing, testifying and preaching with the power of God. People came, they respond, their hearts were touched. They came and repent before God, put their faith in Christ. And here a new wave of movement began. And that is the church in Jerusalem. And so the impact of this radical move of God transformed and formed a community, the church in the New Testament. And there are things about them, things that they, their way of life will change, the way they talk, their commitment, their perspective in life will change because of that. And what followed after that is what I would like us to look at today and see if there are things that we can learn from them. The impact. Now, before I continue, I promised someone that I will give her the platform to share a little bit. Maybe you can come after, or you want to come now? All right. What happened to the disciples? It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So here are these new believers, 3,000 of them came together, so caught up in God's message of salvation. They respond to the message, and now they want to follow this new movement they've never heard before, this message of transformation. And they saw the manifestation of power in the lives of the apostle, Peter and the disciples. So they came, 3,000 of them came and submit their lives. And the thing they do, the first thing they did was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were a learning church. They love the word. They want to learn about Jesus. So the disciples were teaching them everything that Jesus taught them. And it's an amazing thing to see. They were equipped. They've been transformed by knowing the truth of God's love for them. And it says also that they devoted themselves to the fellowship. There's something about this group. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They bear witness together. They love each other. They were in unity. They see the need in each other's lives, and they give generously to one another. So the church was a learning church. They were hungry for the word of God. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And they devoted themselves to one another in the fellowship. They encouraged one another. They were sharing about the new revelation that they've learned. They're enjoying the new found faith that they have with Christ and the forgiveness and the freedom that they've experienced with him. So this was an amazing, amazing transformation. I was watching the a documentary from the National Geographic. Yeah, this is one of my favorite channels. Now, and I like to watch these adventurous people who are taking risks and going in the middle of nowhere. And there was two guys They were driving and they were talking about the whole thing is about dangerous roads in the world. And they were traveling in South America through the jungle, going through some creeks and some rivers. You know, they have their, sometimes they, their car broke down and they rely on the villagers. I have no idea what they were doing, these guys. They were going for days and days in the wilderness, in the jungle. And then suddenly, in the middle of nowhere, they arrive in this modern town. And I was like, what? Here was this nice paved road, beautiful houses, in the middle of the jungle somewhere, up here, this colony. And it was an European colony. I think it was German or Dutch who came many hundreds of years ago and established themselves a community there in the middle of nowhere. They have the houses that same design as where they come from. The way they build their houses reflects somewhere in Europe, maybe Germany or Dutch. I was mesmerized by this. And they still speak the language. They kept this culture. In the middle of another world exists a little colony that reflects the root of where they come from. I was fascinated by it because that's what we are as a church. A colony of the kingdom. That the way of life reflects something else that is greater than us. Where we really come from. Our root, where our king and his kingdom and his law and his character that are manifested by what we do, that we speak the words of the kingdom. We show out the attitude of the kingdom of love, the kingdom of generosity. And it was, as I look at that, the fascination that I have, and these two guys were so curious, they came to the guys and said, tell us about the history of this place. And so they share the history. You know, I was in awe of the persistence and the courage and the determination of the early settlers to wage themselves throughout the jungle somewhere and to arrive there and said, we will build our town here that will reflect where we come from, that will reflect our culture, our roots, and there they were. So in the middle of this jungle was a colony. And when you walk in that colony, they're different. They're unique from the dominant culture. The church is a colony of heaven here on earth. You and I. Everything we do, how we live our lives, will make people ask questions. Yeah? So, how come? Why? Why do you live like this? Why you smile when things are going difficult? Yeah? And we know where we come from. We know our roots, our foundation, and that is reflected here in the New Testament. The love for one another. It was a loving church, a learning church, that the Word of God changed their lives. It became the power of God to sanctify us, to change us as we read the word. Whoa! Ah, I need to realign myself. The life I was living is wrong. The word of God says this. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Bam, bam. One by one, they begin to see as they hear the teaching of the apostle, understand the word of God in his how to live as a child of God, how to live as a child of the kingdom. That was happening. It was a loving church. They love each other. Their love was genuine. Wasn't fake or put on. They were real. It was a worshiping church. They devoted themselves to one another, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. They broke bread in their home, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And they were praising God, enjoying the favor of all people and the Lord. Are we enjoying the favor of God in our lives, in our families, in your life? Sometimes we are caught up with a lot of things. I can testify to that. Last week I couldn't even stretch my knee. Frustrated that I couldn't move around freely and do the things I would like to do at home. I don't like lying in bed with my legs up. You know, you can't do much. But this was a time that I said, maybe this I will spend time, I will take advantage of this moment and talk to my father. And they have a father and son time. And just soak in his love, his thoughts towards me, his affirmation towards who I am as a person that he created. Only and only that I can praise him and recognize the favor he has for me and my family, his mercy over us, my children's life, the sense of gratitude that comes. Even there are many things to worry about. But to have just a few days, just focus afresh on him. I tell you what, it's priceless. You can't trade those times with anything. And here they are. The church in the old, they were worshiping. It was a worshiping church. Their worship was not just a something. There was this praising God and reverence of who he is in the fellowship. So they were a worshiping church. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I like this. Now, there are three things I learned from here. First, it says, the Lord himself added. That is Jesus Christ. He did it. He brought people. The Lord added to their numbers, and of course, through their preaching, through their witness, through their devotion, through the things that they do, people came to faith. Now, the second thing I want to point out here is that Jesus did two things together in one. This is what happened. He added to their numbers, one, those who were being saved. Two, he added to their numbers those who came to faith in Christ. It is amazing, progressive experience here, that the Lord added those who have faith in him, those who were saved. And then, thirdly, the Lord added daily. Daily. So the early church not only they were praising God daily, not only they were worshiping daily, not only that they were devoted to the teaching of the apostle daily, They were witnessing.
This witness becomes a normal part of their life. As their worship was daily, as their devotion to the word was daily, so was the sharing of their faith was daily. So continuous. It is not that in the calendar like we always do, that they were continuous sharing, as they continuously worshiping God, as they continuously devoting themselves in understanding the word, they continuously witnessing, sharing their faith to others. So it was a growth in the church that was uninterrupted by nothing. Their worship, their devotion to the word, their love for one another was an ongoing event. It wasn't something that is determined by their feelings or their emotions. This growth of the church, as I said, was uninterrupted by nothing. They had realigned themselves, everyone, to the purpose of God, of why they exist as a community. There is this agreement in their spirit and their soul that this is what they are going to do. You know, there is power in agreement. Amen? There's very powerful. When I married my wife, I met a guy who just separated from his wife. He also had a marriage, intercultural marriage, that didn't work. He came to me and he said, "I'm concerned for you, Joelle. I hope you will last 3 years." I said, "Oh, what happened?" When there is agreement, yeah, when you agree together, there is power in it. When the church say, "We are going to move forward. We are going to do this together. We are going to be a blessing to the community and to the nation." Their opinions are surrendered. What they thought was right was surrendered. But their obedience took over. It was not a substitute. It was an intention. A life with Christ, alive as a community, a kingdom community, is a community that will transform wherever they go, will bring transformation. We come from, I've been in many churches around the world, and I've seen many people come from different backgrounds. The beauty of it, one of the challenges is that when people come together, we bring our background with us, and then sometimes we try to recreate the environment that we left, to recreate that environment wherever we go. Sometimes it works. Sometimes there's a clash. Sometimes there's misunderstanding. And I watch people again move to other places because they will never let go of that effort to try to recreate their own environment. One of the signs of a mature Christian is that you can sit in any church service and still have an encounter with God. Amen? You can go to the most boring church. "Oh, this is not like my church. Oh, I wish they do this. I wish that they do. They can go to any service and ministered to by God. Because our heart is right, that we have realigned ourselves to God. We see and we discover and we pay attention to the presence of God and what He's doing around us. Amen? Amen. So when we make the choice as a community, like these guys, a learning church, they were a loving church, they were a worshiping church, an evangelistic church. Sometimes many times we attempted for the sake of being relevant to the world that we compromise ourselves too much and we lose our impact. We can be relevant and yet withhold ourselves and guard ourselves from being conformed. We can be relevant and at the same time without compromising the word of God, who we are as a church, as the people who have realigned ourselves to the purpose of Christ. Are we a learning church? Are we loving? Are we a worshiping church? I remember we were in Fiji, and the village that we went to is a Methodist church. And I grew up in a Methodist church. In Fiji, you don't bring guitar. Yeah? Not in the church. I grew up in that environment. So no drums, no bass. Even growing up, you know, Fiji is warm. Sometimes you want to lift up your hands. The fan is so low that if you lift your hand, you will hit the fan. But when we were in Fiji, something special happened. We were in a Methodist church in a village. You cannot be more traditional than that. And we saw and witnessed the Spirit of God move in this place. We just did what we did. We were singing worship songs from the hymns. So I would ask the choir director, can we sing 206 or 345? Oh, yeah, okay. Do me soon. Bam, they sang. And when they sang, no fancy music and instrument, the worship was beautiful. Just the hymns, the old ladies, the old men, the whole generation, they were weeping, they were touched. One guy was holding his heart. Whew, you know, my heart, so beautiful. They were worshiping churches. And I hope that we won't deter ourselves here at SIC, that we, you know, our brother Charles, I remember the first time I met him here. It was, and he's still here. And many of those, you know, one thing that our hearts want is that this church, that we prioritize the presence of God. Amen? When we say, God, you are here. When God says that if two or three gather in my name, I will be with them. Learning church, loving church, a worshiping church, evangelistic church. Some of the impact that I've done in people's lives was not in the church. It was in the rugby field, sometimes in the coffee shop, the pizza place. Just a normal conversation, exchanging life experience together. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about the three-legged stool of SIC. We look at, as we see the word of God. I remember somebody asked me, so, Pastor Joel, what's your vision? I said, our vision. That's a good question. I have many visions. Which one you want? Number one, two, or three, number four, number five, number six, number 10. And what saves us from our own human idea is when we identify what is the mandate of God of why we exist as a church. That is our mission. It will never be substituted by anything else. Our vision is how are we living out our mission in this world. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Our mission and our vision. Why are we here? Why are you part of this big plan of God exists in this wonderful community of SIC? Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of encouragement and affirmation for us. Help us to be a learning people that want to learn more about you, about your word, about the truth. Help us to love each other genuinely. Help us to bring delight in you, in our worship, in our songs, and in our lifestyle every day. Give us the power and the wisdom to be your witness to the world, to our friends, to our families, to our neighbors, to our brothers and sisters. Help us. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite us to stand up together as I will respond to the word, that we read together our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.